I'm anxious to see what God does with you too, all of you. All you young ladies, all you. Have I got an echo, Dan? All right. Dan, do we need to give you like a refresher course now that you're back? Renewal membership and a refresher course at the soundboard? I feel like I got an echo. All right. We ready? Philemon, chapter 1. Rain's a good thing. It's coming down so hard that it looks like speedboats out there on Graham Road. They're shooting up little sheets out there. So I don't want you to have to get out in it. So just be patient with me. We'll keep going till it stops raining, all right? No, you didn't. I'm praying about the next word. I know Joe said joy. And so all this week I've been meditating on joy, all the references of joy, without looking in my Bible, just the ones I remember. But I'm really seriously thinking about discernment. I don't know why. I just feel compelled maybe to spend some time in the word discernment. We touched on it Sunday night a little bit. Yay, woe unto you. You can discern the sky. Yeah, you don't ride a Harley. Okay, all right. All right, Powder Puff. You are a mess. Pray for Brother Menengos, please. Philemon chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, should have been a whole lot more amens when these young people gave their testimony. Paul, you said that's not in our passage. It was. It's between prisoner of and Jesus Christ. It's right in there. Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved. And just because it's the rain stopping doesn't mean we're ending the message, all right? I know some of y'all were saying, we're going to go as long as it keeps raining, Paula. I know. I heard it. I heard you and Miss Linda back there saying, it stopped raining. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved, and fellow labor. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, love the adjectives they use to describe, and we talked about that, their notoriety. And to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's where we're going to be picking up from tonight. He says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Boy, if we could all grasp that right there. I don't want to say I'm getting softer or compromising, but I'm realizing there might be some people that I'm going to share heaven with that I might not see eye to eye with. And so that's, boy, if we could get that. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou... We tend to almost... I don't know how you say it. Corner the market on who gets my love, who gets my expression of faith. I'm only going to share it with these folks or that. It says, watch this, all the saints or all saints. And I don't believe he was talking about just those that were having church at Philemon's house. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual, that this when I'm praying and making a mention of thee, and I pray concerning hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus. And a pastor ought to be able to just have a lot of enjoyment praying and thanking God for the love and faith that people have. That he pastors. Thank you, Ryan. And toward all saints, watch this, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of everything, every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. He says, I want this to trickle over into other people. It isn't just for you to be that way. It's for you to trickle over into other people. Other people ought to be. Listen, if you can get around somebody and become like them. I know a lot of people that they become who they're around. And they're influenced by the group of people they get around. They're adults and they say, no, I'm not. Peer pressure doesn't do anything to me, but the more they're around it. That's the thing about our young people. Inadvertently, when you send them to camp and they're around all these people, they say, wow, you mean to tell me there are other people that do what my pastor preaches on and my parents rail on me about? They're really people that do that? I thought it was just, I thought they kept me prisoners to this. I thought I just had to do this. No, they get, and then they start saying, oh, I can do this. It's the same way with us. Get around the wrong people and you'll be like them sooner or later. But you get around good people and it should be infectious. And Paul is saying this to Timothy or to Philemon. He says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging it effect. It ought to affect other people. Your faith and your love, my faith, my love, ought to affect somebody else. I ought to be able to look at the circle of people you're around, and I say this, or somebody said it to me years ago, and I still say it to myself and other people today. Be the thermostat in the room. Don't be the thermometer. Go in and set the temperature. Go in and say, this isn't how I'm going to be. I'm going to love, I'm going to have faith, and I'm going to effectually communicate that to other people, that they ought to do it as well. They ought to see it as well. I mean, Sam, perfect example. Here's a good example. Have you ever got around Sam and she starts laughing and you don't laugh? I laugh just because of how crazy her laugh is. See? Cynthia started laughing. Other people. What we do ought to be infectious to other people. We go to work, we have no joy. We sit there and we get our pay stubs just like everybody else, and our faith isn't, man, you wouldn't believe what God's doing, what little bit I get. We complain. We it's all kinds of things, man. It ought to be effectual. Our love and faith ought to be communicated, whether it be in tongue or in task. It ought to be communicated in a way that it makes a difference in somebody else. Verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love. Now it's even encouraged Paul while he's in prison. Because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. The very essence, the very fiber, the inner soul, the makeup, the interior makeup of a person. You know, we groan inside, we say. You know, there's prayers, Romans talks about it, that are groanings, the Holy Spirit understands them. Same thing here. Their bowels are refreshed by the testimony, the word, the communication of Philemon. Now, I feel there's a part of it that's a setup. I don't want to say it's a setup, but he's sitting there, he's laying a foundation so he can come in and follow it up with Onesimus. Listen, you do this with all the saints. You help other people. Now I'm going to send him back. You do it with him. Because if and here's the lesson. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. We categorize our love and faith with people. Yeah, I love him. I love him. He hasn't hurt me. I'll demonstrate my faith to them. They're not going to mock me. They're not going to. I feel comfortable. I feel safe in here. I'm trying to show these Timothy guys, you can't always be safe. I remember the first ministry I had that launched out in. Woo! I lasted 10 months. Resigned. And I was hurt. My family was hurt. Everything. Came back, did the little, you know how it is, the dog at the pound. You know? My pastor saw it. It wasn't even my pastor. I was just trying to find a church to go to now. And he said, listen, if you're in the ministry, you better get used to it. You better get used to opening yourself up and allowing somebody to do that. I think Paul feels like, hey, Philemon, you do it with everybody else. You might not do it with Onesimus. You might still carry a grudge. You might say, well, he cost me a lot as a servant. I paid X amount of dollars for him. Then he departs from me and he leaves. And okay, he got saved, but what about restitution? What about this? What about what I lost? There's a lot of speculation I could say in here, but I think that Paul's laying a foundation for it. I'm encouraged by you. Others are encouraged by you. You have a love and a faith that speaks volumes to other people. I'm going to send Onesimus back to you. I could use him, but I'm going to send him back to you. And I want you, if he's done anything, you just put it on my account. But I expect you to be what you are to everybody else. And can I say this as a pastor? I expect you to as well. I watch some people in church I've pastored. And they can be so with this person. And then you're sitting there going, well, why ain't that way that person? Can I say this? And I'm just going to say it. I don't need permission to say it. You know why we don't have cliques here? Because pastor don't have cliques. Everybody's the same with me. Everybody's the same. Even those that have kicked me in the face, they're the same with me.
I still talk. Somebody has kicked me in the face, called me this week, talked to me this week. You know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be the same with that person that I am with anybody else. It ought to be. Mark, if you always just spend time with two or three people at the church, it's wonderful that you do that, but could you imagine the communication and the expansion of somebody else's love and faith if you did that with more people? It's required of us not to just do it amongst the brethren, but with other people too. And we don't. We protect ourselves too much. I'm not going to say, maybe set up is the wrong term, but Paul's definitely laying a foundation for him. He's laying a foundation. He's building him up and saying, I appreciate, and he genuinely means it. I appreciate that you do this, Philemon. But listen, I bumped into Onesimus. He's a brother now. I'm sending him back. I'm going to expect you to do it with him as well. I tell you, isn't it sad we hold grudges a lot of times? We hold grudges. Well, I'll tell you what. Once they say I'm sorry, I'll get past it. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Notice he keeps saying saints. He's referring to these people in a group. Then he doesn't say saints anymore. He focuses right in on Onesimus. You did it for the saints. Now there's an expectation. There's an implication that you're going to not only minister to those saints, you're going to minister to this saint now that's become a saint, and I'm going to send him back to you. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. I wonder if he, like me, when you read it, you're starting to read this letter, and all of a sudden he mentions Onesimus, and it's like, Onesimus? And all of a sudden everything, he's beseeching him, he's begging them on behalf of Onesimus. And he says this of him, whom I have begotten in my bonds. I see Philemon, I hope I'm not doing an injustice scripture. I see Philemon stopping it and going, he ended up in jail, and now Paul's led Onesimus to the Lord. Well, go figure. Look at what happened there. Which in time past was to thee, watch this, he says this. In time past to thee, he was unprofitable. But now profitable to thee, and he says, and to me. What a coincidence that God can do stuff like that, isn't it? What a happenstance that things just fall the way they do sometimes. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He says, in your stead. He said, because, watch this, Philemon, you've ministered to me. You've helped me. You've greatly assisted me. But now you're not here to help me, and God has sent Onesimus, and I've won him to Christ, and he could help me on your behalf. But I'm going to send him back to you. Why am I going to send him back to you? But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Perhaps he therefore departed for a season. Here's one of those happenstances. Just so happens. Could it be that he departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever? Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. Especially to me. But how much more unto thee? Paul could have very well been at a low point in his ministry, and all of a sudden he sees Onesimus. Again, I hope I'm not doing an injustice to Scripture. He sees Onesimus in the prison. I was telling the men in the prayer room that I was at the airport today, and I dropped off Libby and Jean and was getting their stuff, you know, going for 17 days, and they packed half the house. Anyways, and I was dropping them off, and before I got out, I looked and I went, Mama, is that Todd? Here's Todd's Todd from the back. You know, you just watch him, and I said, Mama, I mean, it's Akron. We're at the edge of Akron and Kansas. It's Akron, Kansas. I mean, how many people? What is it, 80-some thousand people? Here's Todd, 8 o'clock in the morning, walking from the airport. And Todd, he just keeps walking. That's Todd. He keeps walking, and after I dropped him off, I texted him. I said, hey, Todd. And he said, I said, are you at the airport? He said, yeah. And he was dropping off the Miss Dotson lady that was with him. And we talked for a little bit, and then I went on. What's your point, preacher? Are you getting old and just... No. Here's Paul at prison, and all of a sudden, he sees Onesimus. He recognizes Onesimus because he was a servant of Philemon. How much of an encouragement do you think that was? They start sharing stories about Philemon. One thing leads to another, and you know, he may have shared, here's why I'm in prison. Onesimus sees the people at Philemon's house, the church. He sees Paul in prison. Paul's the same in prison as he's out of prison. Paul's the same in prison as he is out of prison. And through God's providence and sovereignty, his heart is softened. Paul presents the gospel to him, wins him to Christ, and he could be a great blessing to him. He sends him back to Onesimus. Now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Testimonies, character means something in Christianity. It should. We have to have pages upon pages to sign documents now because our word means nothing. We got to be held accountable by documents. What happened in the days of a handshake? What happened in the days of a word? Yea, brother, verse 20, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Please don't disappoint me in this area. Please, I'm sending him back to you. He's a brother in Christ. Whatever happened, happened. It happened for his betterment, my betterment, and now I'm sending him back to you for your betterment. Let's look at that in this way. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee. I guess none of us will understand that until we're writing a prayer request from a prison cell that his joy might be full. Could you imagine if he gets the returned email? Paul, I've thought about this. I just can't get over the fact of what Onesimus did. You just don't know how much this hurt me. I'm going to have to think about that. You say, really? Pastor for a while. Pastor for a while, talk to people. It's almost like it's the guy that had this insurmountable debt he owed. And all of a sudden the Lord forgave him of the debt. And he walks right out of there and he goes choke somebody down for 20 cents, $20, whatever it is. How many of us are that way sometimes? Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more. Do more. Do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers, it's just prayers going and prayers coming, I shall be given unto you. I'm praying for you. I know you're praying for me, and because your prayers for me, I'm going to get out of here. My prayers for you, I know you're going to receive Onesimus. There salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. Tonight, thank you so much for everything that's transpired. And Lord, yes, we see always the enemy. He's always ever lurking, sitting in the shadows, doing everything he can to, if not distract, discourage, or even destroy. And so we come tonight and we thank you for who you are. We have to constantly keep our eyes on you. We have to focus on you. We have to let this mind be in us. It was also you set your face towards the Lord. And we need to as well. Help us, I plead tonight. Thank you for the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know what time it is. It's stopped raining. Tonight we come back. I know I already knew I wasn't going to get past this, and so just let me get to a place where I can give an invitation. Tonight we come back to our study of the letter to Philemon and its implications of ministry. Thank you, Alex. Dressing that soundboard up back there. It's part what? Part four. Thank you, soundboard. We have looked so far at the premise of the letter regarding implications of ministry, and then we looked at the people of the letter. Tonight I want to look at one of the greatest implications of the letter, and that is, anybody want to take a guess? Did I already mention it? The prayer of the letter. as I studied out the book of Philemon and did as I've been taught and taught myself, I read it over and over and over again, seeking and searching for the emphasis of the book. I may not hit it with 100% accuracy, but I want to be as close as I can by the aid of the Holy Spirit to that of the intent of the writer. Paul had an intent when he wrote this letter. And it was for a reason and a purpose. And if we have one book and one teacher, I should be as close as possible to the intent of that letter as Paul was when he wrote it. Okay. That's not spooky. That's just how it works. The prophets are subject unto the prophets. I believe when that's done, we can be very close. As I've said, there are many who have narrowed the emphasis and intent of the letter to be forgiveness. And I will agree there is a part of the letter that emphasizes that. But to narrow a letter down in the Word, capital W, in the Word of God, to just that, just forgiveness, with so many others involved in the letter, and knowing it would last, this letter that was, would last for ages, I must conclude the implications are far more than just forgiveness. He could have just wrote Philemon himself personally, but he included several other people in that letter. It was far greater than just a conversation between Paul and Philemon. And I hope, as I say that, I've made a case for it. And I pray I'm close to what Paul intended or implied. I know people might not think about this. I'll get to heaven one day and I'll meet these men. I'll meet the men that I exegeted their letters. You know, and I don't want them to walk up to me, Caleb, and say, "Listen, the cloud of witnesses, we were listening. Son, you missed it big time on that letter." I don't want to be that guy. Have you ever, and I hope I haven't, if I have, please come to me. If I miss something scripturally, please come to me. Please don't sit there in a little bubble and say, "Boy, he missed it tonight." Please come to me. Let's share the scriptures together. But I don't ever, have you ever been somewhere where you sit there and you open it up and somebody preaches and you go, we are filled, our pulpits are filled nowadays with read a verse of scripture and go somewhere else. And I don't ever want to be that guy. And I try my best to, maybe a bad terminology, but handcuff myself to what does the text say? We've got the greatest book written by the greatest author with the greatest teacher. We can read people's commentaries, and there are people that love, what's his name's? Now, what's his name? Oh, what's his name? Everybody brags on his commentaries. Yeah, John MacArthur's commentaries, and everybody, he's corrupting the generations of people. I don't want to be that guy. I want to make sure. I don't want to get to, and I think about things maybe different than everybody else. I don't want to get there and say, "Hey, Michael, Paul, I have the mind of Christ now. I was listening to your messages on my letters. Missed it really big." I know y'all might not think about that. I do. And so I want to be there. And so, yes, forgiveness is in the letter. But I think it's so much greater than that. I think it's so much bigger than that. That's why I said there's implications, not just of forgiveness. That's implied there. We see that. But there's so many other things about the ministry that are implied as well. And so we see the prayer of the letter. Verses 4 through 7. When you break it down, ministry really is, can I say this? About prayer. I think it interesting. I know I'm not going to get very far. Just let me find a place to give an invitation. I find it interesting, we sat in a prayer room for a while, discussed things, talked about things, again, teachable moments, trying to really, I really am seriously thinking about adding something to our church. We have a missions conference, we have a family conference. Should we have a prayer conference? Should we have the emphasis and the focus on prayer? I mean, I wouldn't want, can I be honest? I wouldn't want somebody to call me tonight. I'm preaching again in Chicago this year. I was humbled by it. I told him, he said, "Have I given you the dates yet?" And I said, "No." And he gave me the dates. And I said, I'm truly humbled by it. I really am. Anytime I get an opportunity to do that, I'm humbled by it. But if somebody were to call me and say, "Hey, I want you to come and preach 7 days on prayer." I don't know. Can I be honest? I know there's a lot in the book, but execution? Have I? The disciples looked at Jesus and teach us to pray. What was the impetus for that? They watched him. They saw that he was getting answers to his prayers. I mean, what was it? And so ministry, in my point of view, is all about prayer. It's no mystery that Brother Colossa asked Brother Jake to pray tonight. Inman. And then Brother Jake and Miss Kara were met with something that could have. And I sit back and I look at it and I say, boy, the devil. The devil. Anything to discourage us. Our prayer is our connection to him. Prayer is our connection to him. Men ought always to pray. And is it, I know my translation's coming out this fall. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I always say faint not, right, Alex? You're with me? Us King James Bible believers both question that. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. What's that mean? That there's going to be something in the process of our prayer life that's going to cause us to faint. And it happens all the time. I watch it all the time. I think it no mystery when I was getting ready to watch this and teach. We need to pray more. When that man, his child was suffering. Tell me in the generation we are in right now that children are not suffering. And parents are looking around and saying, who can help me? Again, I go back to this. Do you know how many parents, you can't find it. Mr. Statistician back there, Alex. Can you even find, I'm not being sarcastic to you. Can you even find proper statistics of the pandemic of prescription medication to children? You can't. They don't want us to know that. It's masking the problem. It's not fixing it. And we have young people today tossing themselves in the fire, and they're tossing themselves in the water, and there's no place to go. And this man comes to the disciples. They're people that are walking with God. They've heard about him. They've watched it. Can I say this? Society's heard about us. They're not bothered by us. They're not intimidated by us. They're not seeking our help. It's amazing to me, and I'm speaking to me. It is amazing to me in a church with a pastor and a congregation how you can find out people are going through hell about a half acre and you're not the one they go to ask for help. And I sit there and I go to myself sometimes. I'm not sitting there saying, you're a fool for not coming to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm the disciple sitting there saying, listening to Jesus say, we came to your disciples. Now, mind you, they haven't. But still, I put myself in that scenario. They couldn't help. Can you imagine that, Dad? Now, you're not a mom, but you watch kids. You look like you're kid-friendly. You're laughing. She's not. Okay, we'll talk about it. Aurora, you look like you're kid-friendly. She threw you under the bus. Watch this. And they go to the disciples, and here's this man. He's hurting. You don't have children. Anybody ever had to, Matt, what was it like when both your children had those difficulties? I mean, they're born, and they have seizures and all that stuff. It puts you in a different place. Imagine coming up to the pastor. This ain't a Benny Hinn church, but you imagine coming up. And there's an expectation that I can help. Again, I'm not a doctor, but maybe it's something spiritual that I can help with. And I can't do nothing for you. And then he goes to Jesus and he says, listen, I came to your disciples. They couldn't help me. Jesus helps the boy. And what's the lesson to be learned? This kind cometh forth. But why what? Prayer and fasting. And we see a generation of young people today spinning out of control. And watch this. I'm not talking about statistically out there. Let's just statistically look across. I'm in several preachers' groups. I mingle with preachers. And I hear their prayer requests and I hear their struggles in their churches. I thank God. Here it is. I thank God for our church. Can I say this? I just think we have normal problems. Is that okay? I think I said to somebody one time, we're a normal church now. It's normal problems. It's not the abnormal problems. It's just normal problems. It's normal problems. But why is that happening? Why aren't young people getting help? Are we not praying for them? Are we not fasting? I don't think it's a mystery. Jacob goes in there to pray and he gets attacked. We're not helping. And Paul is writing them back, and there's an implication. When you break it down, ministry really is all about prayer. Or shouldn't it be? Let me read this. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. And he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives. This is Jesus. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, not a place, when he was at the place, places are amoral. It's what you do with them. He said unto them, pray. Here it is. He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He knew what hour it was. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down. And he prayed, saying, and they hear him, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Boy, you talk about, I've been around people. I could name some names. I'm not going to not name drop. I've been around people before, and I've said, wow. Ever been around somebody when they pray and you just say, wow? You just feel, anybody ever watch the movie Sheffy? Nobody ever watched Sheffy? Fine. I preached in Sheffy's church years ago when I was on deputation. The man that played Sheffy. We watched it here at church. Was anybody here when we watched it? Sheffy, the Sunday school class? And there's a place where he was praying over the chicken and dumplings. Remember that? And he was thanking God that there was chicken in the dumplings. And all the people from the table looked up at Sheffy. And it was like they said afterwards, I think they said afterwards, there's a part of him, he says, it sounds like you're talking like he's right here. Yeah. You ever get around somebody and it just seemed like it was rehearsed? Remember, one of the Pharisees and the hypocrites, because they pray these lengthy prayers and they want to be heard and everything. You're just supposed to talk to them. I'm not saying disrespectful, but you're just supposed to talk to them. They're within earshot of that, Ryan. And hearing him, and then they see an angel minister unto him. No wonder they learned that they needed to go to the upper room and pray. I apologize. I don't know if I invoke that kind of desire. I want to get to be the guy that's gray head, and somebody says, wow, if I need some help, I'm going to go to him for prayer. Could people come to you and say, man, I'm just really struggling. I'm really, Caleb, I want to be the guy I think we all ought to be. There's implications in this letter. He's implying to Philemon, Caleb, I want to be the guy that if you're facing hell about a half acre. Pastor, can I ask you a question? Would you? Yeah, sure. Would you pray for me about this? And I'm Calvinistic in my prayer. Is anybody else Calvinistic in your prayer life sometimes? Whatever will be, will be. I mean, it's already written down. Joshua prays and he stops the sun from coming. I mean, he literally, I mean, there's things, there's, and if he's a respecter of person, he can't, I mean, it's, I believe we can move the hand of God. But do we? We have such low, don't we have such low expectations? I mean, could you imagine if we said Sunday, 9 o'clock, we're going to meet in there and we're going to change the world? How many would show up? Versus Sunday, 9 o'clock, anybody that wants to can come in there and pray. Yeah, I'll see what I can do. We sell ourselves short, don't we? The farmer plants the seed, he expects a crop. We pray and it's a hope so. I think there's a lot of implications in this letter to prayer. I'm finding a place to stop. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, see how many times it's mentioned here? And was come to it, Jesus prayed. Why do we think we shouldn't have to? When he came to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. He wasn't asking them to vote properly. He was asking them to just pray. And don't enter into don't get in the mix of what's fixing to take place in the next few hours, next few days. And guess what happened? They did. And only John showed up. What a letdown. Now they get a second chance. Now get together. He appears to them again. He says, let's try this again, gentlemen. Let's go up into that upper room and wait. Could you imagine if we said 9 o'clock Sunday morning, we're going to all meet? Any of the men that want to meet? That's not excluding ladies. I hope people understand that. It's not excluding ladies. It's we are the ones that should lead our families. We are the ones that should carry the armor. You know what I'm saying? And we should be praying. There's not a person that'll come into this church Sunday morning that doesn't have a need. That doesn't have a need. Alicia, I'm not going to go into details. You know I've been praying for you in recent days. Do you feel it? Because you have a need. All of us have needs. Can you imagine just a disconnect and it's just a social club to come to? I'm not even your dad. I'm just your pastor. I have that much influence in the whole scope of everybody around you. But there's a belief that if I can get in on this thing and intercede, I might not have to be sitting in an office with her one day trying to help her navigate life. I think more is done than this way. But I don't know if we believe it sometimes. They were entering into one of the greatest temptations of their life. Are they going to deny him or are they going to follow him? John shows up. And I've said this before when I preached. John got so close he could hear Jesus' heartbeat. You know, when there is an echo when I come over here. I don't know why. You know, most of the time, who we ask to pray? Somebody we've opened our heart up to. Because they have our heart. John was there. Is that you? If I really had a need tonight, could I go to you and ask you, and would it make a difference? Could I feel like it made a difference? I'm trying to find a jumping off place. I'll be honest. Jesus truly left us all an example that is very difficult to match. He is praying just prior to one of, if not the greatest aspect of his ministry, offering himself up as a sacrifice for all mankind. The man, God, sweat drops of blood, hematidrosis, actual medical condition. You get under, and I don't want to say it's anxiety, there is so much pressure, if I can even say that. The human part of him, blood vessels are broken, mixed with the sweat, he sweats drops of blood. He's under such, and I'm so cautious about terms, duress, the man, the God-man. He's under that much pressure that they stay out of it. John's the only one that shows up. If he will do that, then how much more should you and I be praying? Dad, are you the difference in your children succeeding or them failing? Sunday school teacher, are you the difference between your class and the people in it being a success or a failure? I'm sure my mother-in-law, and I have to change it up sometimes, probably sits there. Much of my prayer over food is seemingly repetitious. I don't know if I've ever prayed over my food and didn't mention my children and my grandchildren. And when I do it, it's not repetition. I'm sitting there saying, God, is this my importunity? Please hear me. Please know before I even put food in my mouth. please know before I even take a bite to nourish my flesh, my children and my grandchildren mean the world to me. Would you please intercede?
I'll be honest as I have been in recent messages. I do not pray enough. I want to pray more. I desire to pray more. I even made a case for myself in the men's prayer room the other day. It wasn't Brother Colossus' fault, but he asked somebody to pray again, and I'm the guy sitting there. I want to intercede for people. I want to be a voice. And I said, can I ask a question? Brother Colossus said, yeah, sure. Why doesn't anybody ask on me to pray anymore in here? And I knew, Pastor said, you know, you're doing it, but I'm still one of y'all. What Brother Baldwin said, he's in it with us. And then I take it very seriously, and as God brings things to my mind, I'm praying for people in there. Joe defaulted. I said, no, Joe, I want you to pray. And Joe said, no. I was humbled by that. Joe said, I'm going to default. What did he say? And I want you to pray, Pastor. And I lifted him and Angela up for things that they're making decisions on and so forth. That ought to be our heartbeat. We do this emoji, praying for you. How many times we mention things? Prayer meeting on Wednesday night sometimes. Everyone, is there somebody in here, by a show of hands, somebody in here does not need prayer? But how many vocalize it? That's why I love Wednesday night. I know it's 8:40. What's that, an hour and 40 minutes we've been here? But look at the ground we cover. And everybody's at the table except for who's in the nursery. And I wonder sometimes, are we making a difference? Or are we just going through the motions? I don't pray enough. I want to pray more. The Bible says we're supposed to pray without ceasing. Has anybody besides me made a case and said, God, I still got to think and drive. I'm driving down the road today, taking Gene and Libby to the, not hospital, what is it? Airport. I'm driving down the airport. They're driving down the airport. I was arrested. They took me to jail. No, I'm driving. I'm driving. This is me. I don't know. Why is it lately it's been confessional? It's pastor confessional messages. Because none of y'all have any issues at all. None of you. And I'm driving down the road, listening to Libby talk about 40,000 things, you know, and all she's got to do is get her baggage and get on the plane. Just get on the plane, get your baggage. And I click over, I get in the two far right lanes, Massillon Road. That's not the airport. Does anybody know what Massillon Road exit is? Here's what I was doing. I've always said this about y'all. When I'm driving down the road, because here's the admonition, pray without. I'm driving down the road. Massillon exit. Who do you think I'm lifting up? Who? Say it. She's the biggest stinking train wreck in the church. Tina. Say it out loud. Don't be scared. What'd you say? Oh, it was Jake. Just Jake. Okay, I get it. You're okay. It's Jake. I'm driving down the road. Biggest train wreck in the church. No, I'm just sitting there and I'm praying for Tina. The kids, Jake. What do? I exit off Massillon. They have a flight. I'm just praying for my daughter. Pray without ceasing. Get off Massillon exit. Nobody says nothing to me. What a helpmeet she is. I get off. What's that road right there? Massillon exit. That's Massillon Road, right? Left-hand turn. Start going up the road. Left-hand turn. Get over in the far right lane. Hit the little circle. Going down. What's that road there for the golf course? Mayfair? Mayfair Road for the golf course. I looked at Libby and I said, where are you going? Talk about diving in. Maybe they needed prayer. I'm diving in, man. I'm in. I look at the thing. I said, oh, I got to get him to the airport. I'm Google. How can I cut through here? Where do I cut through to get back to where I was supposed to be?
and Greenberg, whatever. I was 3.1 miles away and got there. What's your point? That's pressure. And most of the time, we don't even pray for anybody. We just let things go. And you might be the very thing standing in the way of somebody else. I like it. These young people, write prayer requests down. Mention a prayer request. Say a prayer request. Be somebody of prayer. They wanted to know how to pray because they got around him and heard how to pray. They saw him get something done. I guarantee you, after they saw the garden and then the whole debacle of that, and then he reappears and says, hey, you guys got to get up in that upper room, pray, wait till you be endowed. Preacher, what's your point? I think one of the greatest implications of this letter that has convicted me dearly, and I'm going to get into it next time, is our prayer life. I do not ever want to be, and I think everybody knows this, I don't want to be the church that just ticks the box. Is there anybody in here that doesn't need prayer? How many of us have things, if we could just get an answer for them, it'd be amazing. I've got things that I argue with God about. I said, God, how many times I got to ask you? It's like that insurance commercial. I feel this sometimes, just being honest. You seen that insurance commercial with the guy with the fishing rod and the insurance prices, and he's got that little dollar bill on the, whoa. I feel like that sometimes. I'm sitting there begging God. And then I wonder, God, are you not answering that? Because you enjoy me coming back and just keep asking you. It's a fellowship. I like to be the parent, can I say that? That my children ask me for things. Mrs. Miller, you seem like a serious grandmother. What does it do when your grandkids ask you for something? I wonder how God feels when we just keep coming back. Miss Sherry, your little grandkids ask for anything? How does it make you feel? I wonder how God feels. And I wonder how he feels on the contrary when we never ask him. We're supposed to boldly come to the throne of grace that we may find what? Grace to help in a time of need. I'm getting to the place, Tina can't say this to me anymore, Dad, you're getting softer. I think I'm just trying to become more gracious. Meaning I just keep asking for things and I find grace there and grace makes me more gracious. What could our church become if we really grasp the concept of the implication in the prayer, in that letter that Paul talks about prayer? Can I say a difficult place? I keep saying I want to jump off somewhere. You know a difficult place for me sometimes? And it's a mixture. I'm going to get into this next time. I'm supposed to study the Word of God. And what? What's the implication in Acts for the reason for deacons? What's the implication in the book of Acts for getting deacons? For who? So the pastor can pray and what? So the pastor studies the Word of God so he can throw the seed out and what? Pray. So the seed flourishes. He's not supposed to be doing toilets. He's not supposed to be doing renovations. He's not supposed to be doing all those other things. But this one does. The word is the power, or the word is the principles, and prayer is the power behind it. It's a difficult thing when I study a message and I sit there and I say, God, I'm not preaching at that person, I'm preaching for that person. And would you please take these words, empower them, that they will apply them and your work will be manifested in their life. That's the taking them from here and bringing them here. And I don't know if we do it. And it's not just supposed to stay with a pastor. It's supposed to be everyone. A Miley should be doing that same thing, in essence, for a Julie. And a Sam ought to be doing it for an Alicia. And a Mrs. Sherry ought to be doing it for a Sienna. And a Christina ought to be doing it for a Katie. And a Joe Colossa ought to be doing it for a Mark Menengos. And a Mark Menengos ought to be doing it for a Noah. And I just don't know if we do it. And I'm convicted. Because I wonder how powerful our church could be in this day that we live if we really grasp the implication that Paul is implying to Philemon on Onesimus's behalf. Not just for Onesimus, but that all the other people in the church see it. Father, we'd ask you to help us. It's probably a place we might settle in for a while, Lord. You've already heard me talk to you today, and I don't, it's effectual. It's fervent. And so, Lord, I ask you to help me with my effectuality and my fervency. There's people in here that I pastor with great, great needs. And really, honestly, Lord, anything that burdens us ought to place us prostrate in a place of prayer. Let us never get to the place where the little things don't matter to you. If you number the hairs on our heads, then everything matters to you. And prayer is our communion with you for us to get guidance and direction, comfort and conviction in order to press on. What a sight it must have been to watch Jesus pray that the cup would pass before him, and yet his disciples were asleep. It was a difficult task, Lord, I'm sure, as the God-man, but it must have been very discouraging as well as the God-man to see people sleep. And Lord, I'm afraid we have fallen asleep in our responsibility to pray. I don't want to get to heaven and realize that my prayers could have changed and I just got weary and stopped. And so help us tonight, Lord, convict us all. You said your house should be a house of prayer. And too many churches today are just a house of mess. Help us to be notable as these people had notoriety that we spoke of. Help our notoriety as a church not to just be mission-minded, but that we intercede on the behalf of other people. That we seriously pray and we have feelings for people and we take them to the throne and we don't cast judgment before them. We don't know all the circumstances that got them into the circumstances, but we know the person that can get them out of the circumstances. And we come to you and we beseech the throne of grace that not only we, but others can find help in their time of need. Help me, Lord, through this study. Help me, Lord, through this section in this letter and the implication, the prayer of the letter. Help me when my grandkids or somebody standing over my grave years down the road, that my papa, my dad, my pastor was a man of prayer. And Lord, I don't feel like that all the time. And so during this message, during this section, help me. I want to be a person that when I come to you, you hear me and you respond. Not because of me, but because of the things I ask that you as well want to be involved in. Now speak to us all tonight, please. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Word of God and its implications. Help us to obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all